this evening as we come to our study of God's Word. We want to look at this chapter together, Exodus chapter 40. Tonight, before we come and we gather around the Lord's table, I want to draw our thoughts to this theme this evening. The message is entitled, Consecrated Unto the Lord. So I'm going to invite you to follow along as I begin reading in Exodus chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. And then we'll jump down to verse 16 and read through the end of the chapter. Exodus chapter 40, in verse 1 we read, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, On the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. Verse 16, Thus did Moses according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. And Moses reared up the tabernacle and fastened its sockets and set up the boards thereof and put in the bars thereof and reared up his pillars. And he spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent above upon it, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he took and put the testimony into the ark and set the staves into the ark and put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle and set up the veil of the covering and covered the ark of the testimony as the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the table in the tent of the congregation upon the side of the tabernacle northward without the veil. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation over against the table on the side of the tabernacle southward. And he lighted the lamps before the Lord as the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the golden altar in the tent of the congregation before the veil. And he burnt sweet incense thereon as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set up the hanging at the door of the tabernacle, and he put the altar of burnt offering by the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and offered upon it the burnt offering and the meat offering as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and put water there to wash withal. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet thereat. When they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near unto the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not until the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel, throughout all their journeys. Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon our time together, and then I want to again consider that thought, consecrated unto the Lord. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we can come and we can look at this passage of Scripture, and that we can consider the theme of consecration before we come and we gather around this table that reminds us of the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, as we read tonight of these things within the tabernacle, each one was a picture truly pointing us to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is worthy tonight of our worship. And Lord, we ask and pray that you would bless as we consider thy word and consider thy truth in the moments that remain before us. And we'll thank you, Lord, and praise you for the things that we can learn and glean tonight and grow because. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. In Exodus chapter 40, we find Moses and the people of Israel consecrating the tabernacle of the Lord. If you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and 7, you're going to find a similar scene as Solomon would come and later consecrate or dedicate the temple unto the Lord. From this passage this evening, I want us to understand what it means to be consecrated unto the Lord and the results of that consecration. We will do this tonight first and foremost because of the admonition that the Apostle Paul gives to us in the book of Romans. He says to us, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed unto this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God." God desires that each and every one of us live a life dedicated unto Him, set apart to Him, consecrated to Him. He is worthy of that consecration. We come tonight and we gather around the Lord's table. We come tonight and we remember that sacrifice that He made upon the cross of Calvary. We behold the mercies of God. In light of those mercies, we are to consecrate our lives unto Him. Our lives are to be fully dedicated unto the Lord. That is our reasonable service. That's not too much for the Lord to ask of any one of us here tonight. Sadly, though, many a Christian today, many who profess the name of Jesus Christ, have never truly consecrated themselves to the Lord. There are some areas of their life that they're willing to give to the Lord, but there are other parts of their life that God has no part in. There are some things that they are willing to say, "Lord, that's yours. You can use it as you will. But this area of my life, Lord, you're not allowed to touch. That belongs to me." But the reality is, as we come and we gather around the Lord's table tonight, we ought to be reminded that we are to give our lives a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's our reasonable service. No part withheld from Him. By the way, you'll realize it's very difficult to make a partial sacrifice, right? It's kind of hard to give half a lamb because you're going to kill it anyway. You can't keep half of it alive and give the other half to the Lord. You can't give a partial sacrifice, but that's where many Christians are living today. It's not reasonable, but it is reasonable for you and I to consecrate our whole lives unto the Lord, every part surrendered unto Him. There's a second part and reason, though, that I want to come to this passage tonight. And the second reason for considering this passage tonight is because what we desire to do at the conclusion of our time together here tonight. Tonight, after the service and after our time of communion, I want to invite all of you to join me over in the Academy building. And I want you to walk through and see what the Lord has done. Because the Lord has done great things whereof we should be glad. And tonight I want to take a time as a church to dedicate that building, that facility, been renovated for His honor and glory unto the Lord. And I want to take the time to dedicate our teachers and our staff in this new school year to the Lord, because it's for Him that all things are done. And we want you to be a part of that. You'll remember in our study of the book of Nehemiah that after the walls were built, they had a time of celebration. And a time to come and dedicate the walls unto the Lord. And that is that building for us tonight. We have taken the time and we have put our heart and our soul. We have made investments for eternity through the taking care of our facility. And we want you to see what the Lord has done. I want to say first and foremost to all who have put their time and energy and effort into that, thank you. Because our teachers and our students are going to benefit from your labor of love. And our God is not one who forgets our labors of love. And He will reward in due time. And I believe the greatest reward that you and I as a church will reap from such an event and such of a project and such an investment are the lives that will be impacted for eternity. And I hope you see that. I hope you believe that with me. That's what excites me about the things that have taken place this summer. But after the service, we'll go ahead. We're going to walk over there, and I hope that you'll join us as we dedicate again that place and our staff to the Lord for the upcoming year. But now I want to return to Exodus chapter 40, and I want you to see with me, first of all, the essence of consecration. We want to understand what it means to have a life that is consecrated unto the Lord. A dictionary definition of the word consecrate would read this way: to make or declare sacred, to dedicate formally to a religious purpose, a solemn commitment of your life or time to some cherished purpose. Certainly all of us here tonight who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, who have known the blessing that our sins, although they were scarlet, were made whiter than snow. Certainly all of us here tonight that have experienced such salvation, that have been redeemed by the precious blood, would cherish the one who made that sacrifice. Tonight, as you and I come and we gather together around the Lord's table, we are coming that we might cherish and give our love and our adoration to the Lord Jesus Christ, whose body was broken, whose blood was shed, that we might be redeemed. In Exodus chapter 40, certainly as the Israelites gathered around the tabernacle, as it was reared up and as these events take place, their hearts should have cherished the one who had set them free from the bonds of Egypt. They gathered that this place might be consecrated, set apart to the worship of the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim. As Solomon stood before the temple and he made his sacrifices unto the Lord, as he dedicated that temple to God and as a house of worship, no doubt the minds or the words of David ran through his mind, as David, his father, would give him just years before the instructions for the building of the house of God. Today, you and I, and our lives, we realize that the bodies are the temple of God, and they are to be consecrated, dedicated unto Him. What does that mean? What's it mean that your life and my life are consecrated, dedicated truly unto the Lord? Well, I want you to see three things tonight, what it means as we understand the essence of consecration. Number one, to be consecrated means that we must give all things to the Lord. If we are going to truly consecrate our lives, then we must be willing to give, don't miss the next word, all things. It is a small word with a large impact. All things must be given to the Lord. Look at verse 33. It says, and he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. God had come and given to Moses and to the people instructions for the building of the tabernacle. God had told Moses that he had set it in the heart of some to be workers of gold and workers of silver. There would be some that would be weavers and those who would be able to produce that which was needed for the construction, the building of the tabernacle. Each one gave of their heart and gave of their soul and gave of their time and gave of their sweat. But then those things were to be given unto the Lord. And piece by piece, that tabernacle would be constructed. There were those who would take the beams and they would cut the beams and they would overlay them in gold. There were those who would construct the sockets and fasten those. There were those who would build the altar of the Lord. There were those who would build the Ark of the Covenant and through their metalworking create the mercy seat. There were those who would make the tapestries. And each one gave of their time, their energy, and their effort. But those things that they made had to be given to the Lord. And what is recorded for us is Moses setting up piece by piece, step by step, as the Lord commanded, the tabernacle. Verse 33 makes it plain. He finished the work. Everything had been given to the Lord. The final pieces are now in place. Nothing was withheld. All was given and put in its proper place. Israel had come and presented their possessions to the Lord. And by doing so, they declared that all those things belonged to God. They declared that He was in complete ownership of every article within the tabernacle. So if we are to consecrate our lives to the Lord, we have to be willing to give all to Him, holding nothing back. Nothing. Every part of your life and my life belongs to Him. Your life, my life, your things, my things, are not ours. We use phrases like that. That's mine. You know, nothing is yours. Do you realize that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights? Do you realize that every possession that you claim to own, He owns? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's not yours. You can go out and you can begin to build great possessions. You know what's going to happen someday? You will die. We will place you 6 feet under, and someone else will take what was yours and claim it for themselves, only to give it to another, to give it to another, to give it to another. You own nothing. That is true of your possessions. That is true of your very life. What's 1 Corinthians 6 say to us about your life and mine? What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? What's the next phrase? Ye are not your own. For you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and spirit. Say the end of the verse. Which are His. Your life is His. He redeemed you. He purchased you with His precious blood, 1 Peter chapter 1 says. Your life and my life is not truly ours. And if we are to completely consecrate our life, then we must do as Romans 12, 1 says, present our bodies a living sacrifice. When you make a sacrifice, it is all or nothing. Again, there's no such thing as a partial consecration or a partial dedication or a partial sacrifice to the Lord. It's all or nothing. You either declare to God, Lord, my life is yours to control. I give you my heart and my soul. Or you say, Lord, you can't have any part of me. Because to really say to God, well, you can have this, but I'm controlling that, really says, Lord, you're not in control of my life. I am. And Moses and the people of God gave all they had unto the Lord. He set everything in its place, and the work was complete. If we're going to consecrate our lives, then we must give all. God deserves all of our lives to be presented unto Him, committing everything to Him, the one that we claim to cherish. Look at verse 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Not only is consecration that you and I must give all things to the Lord, but second, we must allow God to claim all. If we are going to give our lives fully to Him, we must allow God to claim all. In verse 34, we find the cloud covered the tent and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. When all the final pieces were presented, when man gave his all, God came and He took possession. He claimed it as His, as He had the right to do. And that which is truly consecrated to the Lord, folks, will be accepted by the Lord. And what we find in verse 34 is that He accepted the tabernacle. If you go over to 2 Chronicles and you again consider the dedicating of the temple, you find that the fire came down and rested upon the temple, and God accepted that place as His house. If you and I are going to consecrate our lives, then we must allow God to claim all of our lives. And He will lay claim to your life and mine. And He should, because we have all things have been received of Him. Again, our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are not our own. We have been bought with that price. And He has the right to claim ownership for you. To the prophet, He reminds us, through the prophets, He reminds us, we are the clay. He is the potter. He has the right to do with your life as He pleases, according to His perfect will. It is not your life to live. We are to allow Christ to live through us. We ought to be able to say, as Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ. Dying is my gain." You believe that tonight? Is life really centered on Him? Can you really say, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." It's not about me, it's about the Lord. My life is yours to control. Every part is yours, Lord. Possess it, own it, do with me as you please. That kind of consecration does not just belong to the preachers and the missionaries. Because, folks, Paul didn't write Romans 12:1 to the pastors. Most of your New Testament is not written to the pastor, to the missionary. It is written to the people that sit within the pew. He is writing to the average Christian, the person that was saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. He writes to you and to I and says that our life belongs to Him. It's not ours to live as we please. Our life is not ours. It is to be consecrated unto the Lord. We must allow the Lord to lay claim of our lives. Allow Him to truly enter in. Verse 34 also reminds us this. That to be consecrated means that we must be filled with the Spirit. The cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The true blessing of consecration is when all that we have and all that we have offered is filled by God. You and I as believers are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're to allow Him to have complete and total control. This filling of the tabernacle with the glory of the Lord was God's portion of consecration. Folks, I really believe that God desires to come into every heart and every life in the same way. To completely fill us and use us, to permeate every part of our life, our actions, our thoughts, our wills, our emotions. His desire is that your life and my life, now saved and redeemed, would be fully consecrated, fully controlled by the Spirit of God. That is the place of absolute blessing. And He longs to bless us all in every way. But we have to be willing to allow Him to fill us. We must present ourselves unto Him. Again, Romans 12:1 says that we present a living sacrifice holy. That means it's to be fully set apart from sin, acceptable. Which means that it is to be well-pleasing. That's what the word means. It means to be satisfying unto the Lord. By the way, I can't help but think of what we've been discussing in our mornings in Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing to the Lord or satisfying. We are to present our lives one holy, acceptable unto God, allowing Him to fully fill us and control us, allowing Him to lay hold and claim of our life, because we say, "My life is not mine. I give my all to Him." And by the way, we have to leave it there. Sometimes we talk about consecration and folks will come forward and they'll come to the altar and they may weep and they may cry and others may gather around them and they'll say, "I've consecrated my life to the Lord." And within a week or two, they're back to living life the way they've always lived. Folks, this is something that we do daily, moment by moment, that we leave our life on that altar, a living sacrifice. It's to be given to Him fully. In every part, in every way. That's the essence of consecration. Why should we consecrate our lives to Him? Because of the mercies of Almighty God. because his body was broken and his blood was shed. This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat. This is the blood of the new covenant, shed for many for the remission of sins. Drink ye all of it. It is a reminder of what he did, that he sacrificed that you and I might live. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. How could we not say, Lord, my life is yours today. Use me in every way. My thoughts are yours. My will is yours. My emotions are yours. My actions are yours. Now let's get down to the nitty gritty. So is my money. So are my possessions. So is my everything. I hold nothing in possession for me. Let it all be used for you. That's the essence of consecration. What are the effects of that consecration? What happens when a life is consecrated unto the Lord? Look at verse 35. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. You know what the first effect of consecration is? It's a good one. It's the removal of the flesh. It's the removal of the flesh. Moses was not able to enter into the court. When God fills a life, there is no room for the flesh. When God takes control and the Spirit of God has filled us, we are able to walk in a way that will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'll remind you again of Paul's words, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Flesh is removed from the equation. But Christ liveth in me. When you and I give our lives unto the Lord, we take out the flesh. You know that battle that you have day by day? The flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And the two are the contrary, the one to the other. So you cannot do the things that you would. And oh, that we can produce the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance against such as no law. You know those? We can live there. You know how we get there? Lord, my life is yours to control. I give you everything. It is yours. You control me. You use me today. I don't want the flesh. I want the Spirit. I'm yielding unto Him. The fruit of the Spirit, then, are those things. And those who meditate upon the Word of God and give their life unto Him are like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Isn't that the life that you and I want? It's a life you and I can possess. We can have. When we say, Lord, I give you my all. Nothing withheld. All worldly, fleshly things become loss to us. They are but dung that we might gain Jesus Christ. What a blessed life indeed when one is filled with the Spirit, a life consecrated and dedicated to the Lord. There's yet another effect, though. Look at verse 36 and 7. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward on all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. There's not only the removal of the flesh, but there's the leading of the Lord. In those two verses, we find that when that cloud which came and filled the temple, when it abode, the tabernacle, when it abode over that tabernacle, they stayed put. And God gave them a place that they would reside, a place that they would rest. And when it was time for them to journey, the cloud would come up, or the pillar of fire by night would arise. And as it rose up, so would the people of God. And they would begin to follow the Lord wherever He would lead. And He was with them in all of their journeys. What a blessing. Bible says that God will guide us each step of the way. He was with them day and night. If you and I want the leading of the Lord, then we must seek the filling of God, our lives fully consecrated unto Him. By the way, the filling of God and the leading of the Lord are vitally connected. Hold your place here. Just for a moment, turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 tonight. In Mark chapter 1, we find two events in the life of the Lord. We find first, beginning in verse 9, the baptism of Jesus Christ. This is the beginning of his earthly ministry. And he comes to John the Baptist, and there he is baptized by him. Verse 9, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." What just took place? Jesus Christ is beginning his earthly ministry. The Spirit of God has now come upon him, and God the Father has accepted him. I want you to look at verse 12. And immediately, the Spirit who was on him had filled him, driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan. See the connection? When the Spirit came upon him, Spirit then also would be the one who'd lead him. When the Spirit of God fills you and I, he desires that he would lead us every step of the way. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Our steps are ordered by him. He has promised to guide us with his own eye. He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us, but he would be with us and guide us. And that leading and guiding comes as we are consecrated, fully surrendered unto the Lord. He promises to lead us and control us according to his perfect will. By the way, Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto him, trust also in him, and he shall bring it all to pass." That's his leading in your life and mine. And he brings his perfect will to pass within your life. One final thought about consecration. Not only is there the removal of the flesh and the leading of the Lord, there's the witness of his presence and power. Look at verse 38. And the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and the fire was on by night. Notice the last phrase. In the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. That cloud existed as a witness to them throughout all of their days and all of their journeys. It was in the sight of the congregation. That cloud bore witness of his presence was with them, that his power would provide for them and protect them. Christian, you and I are considered that we are called to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. One of the greatest ways that we witness for the Lord Jesus Christ is to allow our life to be in the sight of all who would watch, to let it declare that upon us rests the power and the presence of Almighty God. To see that he is with us. That in their lives there is something different. There is something that we long for. There is something that we've been searching for. In our lives, it should be seen and known that God is with him. One of the most wonderful things about the testimony of Joseph is this, that over and over again it would say, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. When he was in Potiphar's house, it was known the Lord was with him. When he was falsely accused and thrown into prison, it was known the Lord was with him. When he was raised up and set to be the second in power and command of the greatest nation on the face of the earth, it was known the Lord was with him. That ought to be your testimony. That should be mine. We ought to bear witness of the power and the presence of Almighty God. Remember that the name in which you and I bear, we did not take to ourselves. It was given to us. You like the name Christian, don't you? I do. I think it's a wonderful name. Matter of fact, I get a little annoyed for some who would actually use that name.
Forgive me, but the Roman Catholic Church are not Christian. If you don't understand that, you can come talk to me privately, but I don't like it when they use that name. I don't like when the Mormons say, we are Christian. No, you're not. You don't believe in Jesus Christ, at least not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. But that name was given to his followers because it was clearly seen and clearly known. They are followers of Christ, Christian. That name was given unto us. And your life and my life ought to bear the resemblance of Jesus Christ. And it will, as our lives are consecrated unto him. In the sight of those who look on, the sight of those who watch you, your neighbors, your family, your co-workers, what do they see? Does your life and my life bear the marks of Jesus Christ? Do they see his power and his presence, his peace, his provisions, his rejoicing? Do we bear those with us everywhere we go? We can be witnesses of all the good hand of the Lord has done unto us, as our lives are consecrated unto him and him alone. In light of the mercies of God, our life should be given to him. He bore your sin and my sin upon him on the tree. He was cursed for you and me. His stripes healed us. He received the wrath of Almighty God in our place, that you and I might live. Why would we hold on to anything and claim it as our own? You know, there's a beautiful picture in the Old Testament. There were those who were slaves. And the law required that after a certain period of time, their debt would be removed and they would be set free. But a slave had the right, out of love for his master, to say, I will forever be your servant. And at that point in time, they were to take and have a ring placed within their ear, having a hole bored through their ear, and that symbol there saying, I belong to him. And the reason was, because I love him. He is my master. Jesus Christ gave his all for you and me. Nothing withheld. He didn't come and say, you know what, I'll give you most of salvation. I'll give you about 9%, then you earn the rest. Okay? I think that's a fair deal. Folks, I don't care if you're holding back 1%, 10%, 100%. You have no right to withhold a thing from the Lord. Neither do I. He gave his all for you and me, that we might live. All that we have should belong to him. Our life, our will, our possessions, our desires, our goals, all of that should be submitted unto him. And say, you, Lord, do with me as you please. And I'd be more than happy to be your servant, both now and forevermore. Consecrate it unto the Lord. I hope and pray tonight that as we come and gather together around the Lord's table, we'd be able to say that our life is fully consecrated unto him. Let's pray.